as part of our lives. I want to read a scripture to you from Luke chapter 2, verse 8, one that's well known, speaking on the day of Jesus' birth. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." What an amazing story. What an exciting story that was. But the thing I want to draw on this morning, the angel declared this, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." That is what Christmas is about. The joy that came because of what Jesus brought. He brought hope to the world. He brought help to the world. He brought God's love to the world. And I want to focus on joy with you this morning, just so that you can take something for Christmas. Let joy be our strength and our partner at this time of the year. The first thing to note is that God intends us to have great joy. And I say, don't settle for less. Why don't we see great joy? Because we're looking the wrong way. We're trying to fulfill it with the wrong things. In Psalm 51 and verse 12, which I'll read in a moment, tells the story of King David, who didn't go to war, committed adultery with Bathsheba, then had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed in battle, and then he was confronted by the prophet who said, "Yeah, you're a bad lad, God's not happy." And then David comes to God and he begins to pray and he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." So he'd lost his joy by what he did, but he was bold enough to come back to God and say, "I'm sorry, would you restore to me the joy of your salvation?" That's what I seek. And I'm saying that to you this morning. You can ask God for joy. See, joy doesn't come because of good things happening around us or nice people around about us. Joy comes because we seek it. We ask for it. In this case, David asked, God gave. And then in Isaiah 12 verse 3, it says, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." See, to have joy, you have to do something about it. You have to choose, "I want joy in my life. I'm going to do something about it." When you draw from the wells of salvation, in your prayer time every day, I do this. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for the opportunities He's given me. I thank for the life I've received. I just remind myself, and in that, I'm releasing from the wells of salvation joy into my life. Doesn't matter how my life is going, and there's been a few patches lately where it hasn't been so great, but I can still draw on the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is my strength. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And so determine that you're going to do that. Second point is in Galatians 5:22, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There's nine of them. I just read those three. So one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And fruits are meant to be out on the tree, aren't they? They're not down on the roots. They're hanging off the limbs. They're the part we see. And if we're talking about some plants, flowers are the fruit. I love apples, and so apples grow on trees. That's what God ordained. I haven't seen an alternate to that yet. Maybe they will one day, but I hope not, because I like the ones off the trees. But we need to manifest fruit, and one of those fruits is joy, and it's by choice we do that. In the book of Habakkuk, verse 3 and verse 18, how many have read the book of Habakkuk in the last 3 months? Wow. Oh, one. Great, great. Good for you. I don't think I've read it in the last 3 months, to be honest, either. So that's there. But Habakkuk was having a hard time. And he says the flocks, you know, are not there. The fruit, the vine's fallen away. Everything's just going wrong. And that happens in life. But he makes this declaration. He said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." I've said joy doesn't happen because good things come. Joy happens because we let it work from within us and we choose it. Joy is a decision that leads to a choice. "Yet will I rejoice in the Lord." And so it's a determination of your will. It's not circumstance or other external influence. Don't wait around to be happy. Happiness is not joy. Happiness is based on what's called happenstance. In other words, the good things that come into your life, the things you've been wanting, they all come to pass and people are nice to you. The trouble is, that's today, but tomorrow it might not be such. And the happiness of today gets drowned out tomorrow. Don't go for happiness, go for joy, because joy is something that lasts within you. It's a strength that holds you through. In about 500 BC or 580 BC, I think it was, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar took the northern kingdom of Israel, and which was called Judah, the tribe of Judah, because it had been split up into two areas, north and south Israel. South Israel had already been taken. North Israel was now going into captivity. And so they were taken away. And the prophet Jeremiah, almost the whole book of Jeremiah is about warning them of the things to come. And he spoke about it. He said, this would happen. You need to be changing the way you live. You need to come back to God, be honest, love him, serve him. And they rejected that. And so God took them away. But Jeremiah in his prophecy said, but it's only for 70 years and then you'll come back to the land, which did happen. And yet they went down into Babylon, and in Psalm 137 verse 1, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. In other words, they hung up their guitars and said, we're not playing. And then for there they, those who carried us away captive, asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And Psalm 137 verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And that's the crux of getting joy, singing the Lord's song in a foreign land. In other words, through a place of... Jeremiah had warned them. And he said, this will happen, you'll go through this, you'll be there 70 years, but God's going to bring you back. Go there, prosper Babylon, do everything you can while you're there to develop and grow your nation that's there. And they did, but they did it reluctantly because they didn't believe. And you see, the problem they had is they didn't believe God and they didn't trust God. And that's what it comes down to. When I stop joy in my life, I'm saying, God, you're not big enough. God, you can't help me through this situation. I can't trust you enough to change the situation I'm in and bring me and let joy arise in my heart. And we know in Psalm 37 it talks about many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them through, not out of. That's what the Bible says, out of, but it's through. God doesn't just suck us out of the problem. He's with us all the way through to the other end. That's what we've got to get, that trust in God. I don't know whether you've encountered a lady named Johnny Erickson at all. Amazing lady. In her teens, she dove into a pool or whatever it was and broke her neck. She was paralyzed from the neck down. And yet she's in her 70s now. And you can see her on YouTube and it's worth seeing. And she is so full of joy. Yet she suffers throughout life. She can move her arms and they sort of flap around. They're controlled by muscles or nerves in the shoulder. And that's all she can move. She can't move the rest of her body. So at night, somebody has to turn her a number of times as she sleeps. Obviously, she has other needs that has to be looked after by people. She can't do herself, can't do her makeup, can't comb her hair, anything like that. But she's a lady that's full of joy, despite all the suffering that she has been through. If you want to meet somebody who's got joy in their life, go and talk to Pastor Sue. There's a lady who's got joy. When you talk to her for a little while, you feel the joy arising within her. And I think that's a great thing. And we need to be like that as well. The influence of social media has stolen joy. And may I say, the devil is out to steal your joy. And ultimately, he wants your life. But don't help him. There's three M's: media, mouth, or mind. Getting stuck into the media will fill your mind with all sorts of things that will not bring joy. And then in Proverbs 15:23, the scripture says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And so if the media fills your mind, you find there's things coming out of your mouth which will not bring joy. But if you allow the word of God to fill your mind, then out of your mouth will come joy. In Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff refer to the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And so if you want to see joy flowing, you need to take the word of God and you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work that within you, and then joy will arise in you. You'll pick it up. But I said it's a decision. It's a choice. And out of your mouth will come words that will give you joy. The third thing is Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And so we come into the presence of God. It's one of the emphases I placed in this church, coming into the presence of God. I thank the worship team for the hard work they put in. And in preparing worship for us, we set our church to be a worshiping church, because I see the worship of God releases the presence of God. And I want you to experience that presence. And I encourage you, when you come on Sunday, I mean, we should encounter the presence of God every day of 24/7. He's with us. He lives within us. But there's something special about joining together with other people and worshiping together. And as we do that, God releases His glory, yes, but it's His presence that we want. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. Our hearts are lifted up. It's a wonderful experience. And I encourage you, be a part of that. And that, may I just say this, don't come late. Come early, get involved in the song service so that you can experience that joy of the Lord in your life, because in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And we value it and we want to live in the presence. It's God's desire for us. Then number four, hope brings joy. Without hope, we can't live. Without hope, everything's bad. We feel bad. Sad to say, many people, maybe all people, who commit suicide have completely lost hope. We can't ask them now because they're gone. But that's often what happens. They lose hope and they lose the fight to live, the will to live. And so we need hope. We need to find through hope our purpose, and so that we can give ourselves away and do the things God calls us to. And the word hope is not, you know, I hope the weather will cool down a bit. That's not really hope. That's wishful thinking. I mean, it might cool down, but it's still wishful thinking in that respect. Hope is when there's a desire that's linked with expectation. And so there's a desire in my heart to see the things of God manifest. And so I believe for that. I express faith for that. It's my expectation that it will take part. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the God of all hope. And we put our hope in other things. It might be a person. It might be our employment. It might be our finances. It might be a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong with having hope in things. But ultimately, the hope has to be in God, because He's the God of all hope. It originates with Him. Sadly, the word hope has lost its real value. It's a powerful word if you can understand what God means by it in Scripture. But when you lose that, then the hope just drifts down into a bit of a wishy-washy word. The God of all hope fills us with joy in believing that He's the God of all hope, believing that as we seek Him and come to Him and encounter His presence and express life in Him, that we are filled with joy and we can live in that. TV won't do it, sadly. I like TV just like you do. But watching TV doesn't build my hope up. I do like to watch the news. And you find your hope sort of goes like that as you watch the news, because it's all bad news, isn't it? Good news doesn't sell, only bad news sells. And if you fill yourself with that, you will have problems. But I do come back to that. The Bible plus the Holy Spirit will build the hope within us. And so what you take into your mind affects your joy. If you lose hope, you'll lose joy. So your hope needs to be built up, needs to be expected, needs to be expressed. And as you do that, you'll release joy. And sort of the converse is true. When you lose your joy, it's very hard to be hopeful, isn't it? You feel, well, I'm depressed. There's no hope. If you keep talking like that, it'll lead you in a downward path and a dangerous path, because your mind will be filled with things not according to the Word of God. So my question is, are you looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, or are you looking to the world for information, news, entertainment, social media? Because Satan works behind the scenes. He drives so many things that are happening in Hollywood. He drives a lot of that rubbish that comes out of Hollywood and other parts of the world. He drives what's happening in the Middle East and why people hate the Jews. It's almost uncanny the way they hate. Well, it's more than uncanny. It's evil. It's wicked. And over the generations, people have tried to wipe out the Jews. And still today, they want Israel to cease to exist. In fact, they don't want Israel to cease to exist. They want the Jews to cease to exist. And that is beyond understanding unless you know that Satan's driving it. He's the one that's doing that. He wants to destroy the children of Israel because they're God's chosen people. Now, I know things have changed because of the New Testament. We've come in as sons and daughters of the living God, but Israel still has a part in God's plan. And many of those people of Israel are going to be born again. God will bring them into the kingdom. He hasn't forgotten. Just because they haven't followed him doesn't mean he doesn't love them and care for them. And I believe that's going to happen. And we see the hand of God on the nation of Israel because of that. And I'm praying for our nation, because our nation is now making decisions against Israel, voting in the UN about things pertaining to Israel that certainly a lot of Australians wouldn't agree with. And I'm saying, God, would you forgive us as a nation? Please don't judge us as a nation because of what our present government might do concerning Israel in the UN. And so Bible says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, that means Israel at large. So according to the Word of God, we do that. Doesn't matter how you like Israel or how you might like Jewish people. The truth of the matter is God loves them, and therefore we should too. We see the natural world with our natural senses. But I want to encourage you to lift your eyes and to see the supernatural world by faith, to know what is real. See, what seems to be real isn't always very pleasant. But what is real is the fact of what God is doing. It's the supernatural realm. And when you see what is real, then joy can come into your heart. Even though the world might seem to be collapsing, things might seem to be going backwards in a terrible way, but we can have joy. In Philippians 4:4, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice." To have joy, we've talked about a number of things there with joy. You have to choose joy because God intends it. You have to realize it's a fruit of the Spirit. You have to realize that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and that hope brings joy. But we need to learn to rejoice. Rejoice means to joy again. Rejoice. Sometimes you might have to go back to where you dropped your joy and then start to rejoice from that point forward again. Because God wants a people filled with joy. And if we walk around with long faces as Christians, that doesn't do much to glorify God. I think you'd agree. And so when joy is alive in our hearts, people say, wow, you've got something. So let's be joyful. Let's give joy. Let's bring joy. Let's speak joy. Let's be little light bulbs of joy in a world that is suffering and going through difficult times. And I'm not going to talk about those difficult times this morning. I'm just making it a point. So choose joy and rejoice. Then, and this Christmas, remember, Jesus is joy personified.